For a few weeks now, we've considered the sort of reality of life. It's just the way it is. A new year that can and even would begin with incredible promise, hope, and excitement, and anticipation and expectation, as really it should. It's a new year, after all. It's a new beginning. There should be those feelings. It's just the way it is, though, that a new year that begins like that can turn so quickly to the crazy and the strange, be so quickly filled with so many problems, and the excitement of the new year turning then into the frustration and stress and discouragement and disappointment of just another new year with now new trouble. It was true of 2020 in a very real way, a worldwide pandemic kind of way. Maybe not on the same scale, it was probably true of many years other than just 2020. And it could, in fact, prove true of this new year, 2021. How good to know that the Lord doesn't leave us on our own to navigate through life that can be like that, to navigate our way through a given year that could be so unpredictable like that. And better still, not only does He not leave us on our own, He gives us the words whereby we can thrive through any given year, despite its unpredictability, despite its frustration and stress, despite all its trouble and turmoil. We can be strengthened. We can be renewed in it all, even through it all. We read this a couple of weeks ago from Psalm 27. If I could, I would just personalize it for you and for this year, through the trouble, through every problem of it. The Lord is, the Lord will be your light, your salvation. Whom then shall you fear? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one, nothing. We will not fear because the Lord is the stronghold of our lives. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. In the day of trouble, listen to the word of the Lord this morning. In every day of trouble in this year to come, God, He will keep you safe in His dwelling. He will hide you in the shelter of His tabernacle and set you high upon a rock. I am still confident of this. And oh, I pray it's your confidence for every day, in every circumstance, in every trial, in every problem, in every difficulty. Let it be for you. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Listen to me this morning. That's the promise for those. That's the promise for you and me who sense a cry in our hearts, seek His face. And who rightly then respond, your face, O God, I will seek. Listen, you choose to chase God this year. And all that David experienced in the midst of all of his troubles, Psalm 27, you will experience the same. You can experience the same. Last week we considered these verses. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but not us. We trust in the Lord. We rise up and stand firm. In Psalm 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. In Psalm 112, a righteous man will never be shaken. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear because in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. In Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord are steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. In Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways you acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Again, listen, understand this morning. Those promises are for you. Forget the potential trouble this year might hold for you. In it all, through it all, you can be assured of this, God's word for you. Regardless of the trouble, you'll stand firm. You'll rise up above it all. You will, you can be helped, be victorious. No matter the path, he will make it straight for you as you would commit yourself to trusting him. From the very beginning, we've held to this word from the Lord. The Lord is exalted, very great, supremely esteemed, for he dwells on high. He will be the sure foundation for your times. He will be your safety. He will keep your days stable and secure. I remind you of that today, just to remind you once more what we're doing in this series of messages. We're going to know God. We're going to chase God. We're going to trust God. And in that, because we're doing that this year of 2021, we're going to ensure, and listen to me this morning, I'm even going to say it, we're going to guarantee that our 2021 looks like this: safe, stable, secure, unshakable, immovable, on the sure foundation that's the Lord. No fear, not of the enemy, not of bad news, not of anything. Confident in the Lord's goodness and confident in the Lord's help. Salvation experienced from the Lord and victory realized because of the Lord. And all that, why? Because we're going to have no trouble. No trouble, Pastor. Is that what you're saying? That's the safety. That's the stability. That's the security. No trouble. That's the reason for no fear. Can you really ensure? Can you really assure us of that? No trouble for our 2021. Pastor, how even do you know that? How could you know that? No trouble, Pastor. You're telling me that's the promise you're guaranteeing for us. And I say, no way. In fact, the very premise is that there's going to be plenty of trouble. But the good news, the blessed life and destiny for you and for me as children of God, the power of God, that's the power of his word given to us, no matter what comes in the coming year. Let the year have no trouble. Let it be filled with trouble. It won't matter. Do you understand this morning? For the child of God, the trouble doesn't dictate the year. Not for you. The recipient of God's word, the recipient of God's promises, the child who lives under God's care. This does, though. Knowing God, chasing God, trusting God. Because we're doing that inwardly, though outwardly we might be wasting away, inwardly our spirits will be getting stronger and stronger. Renewed day by day. His word for us, regardless the trouble, despite the trouble, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, I believe it. I believe that I can speak it, that we can believe it, that we can declare it for our 2021. Forget the trouble. What trouble might await you this year? What problems might you run into along the way? Forget that. I'm telling you this morning, on the authority of God's word, we know him, we chase him, we trust in him, and I'm going to tell you exactly what your year is going to look like. You're going to be safe, you're going to be stable, you're going to be secure, unshakable, immovable, set free from fear, set free from worry, confident in the Lord's goodness and his help, because we're experiencing his goodness and his help and his salvation and his victory. Don't you know how good God is, that he promises us that he gives to us that, and no trouble of the year can take that from you. No wonder then we determine and settle in our hearts to know God, to chase God, and to trust God. We'll finish next Sunday. Number 4 for us this morning, obey God. There's a verse in Deuteronomy. It's really been a number of weeks now. Just sort of jumped off the pages of Scripture as I read it. Going back into December, I want to use that as our text this morning. Let me first set the stage. The book of Deuteronomy is filled with instruction. It's the laws, it's the commands of God for the people of God. Very specifically in the context of its writing, it's for his people, the nation of Israel. The book will conclude with the death of Moses, so this is the end of his life. This is just prior to the children of Israel being led into the promised land by Joshua. The generation that had been delivered from Egypt, they had died in the wilderness. This is the next generation. This is a new generation. In that sense, then, consider the need for the book, if you will. It's Moses explaining Israel's covenant relationship with God, laying out the terms of the covenant, if you will. God will be Israel's God, and Israel will be the people of God as these laws, as these commands are kept, followed, and obeyed. This is Moses instructing the nation, this new generation of Israelites in the covenant, so they could and would devote themselves to it, so that they would be a covenant people, so that ultimately they would devote themselves then to God and being his people, living in right relationship then with him. So the book is filled with God's command. As his people, this is what you're to do. This is what you're not to do. This is how you're to worship God. This is what's acceptable in worshiping God. This is what's unacceptable. This is how you're to treat people. This is how you're not to treat people. Command after command, law after law, as God's covenant people in covenant relationship with him. This is the instruction you're to live by. This is the word you're to obey. And then, once all that is given, the simple instruction, obey these commands. Verses from Deuteronomy 26. This day the Lord your God commands you, do these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul, your entire being. Today you have openly declared the Lord to be your God, that you will walk, you will live each and every day in his ways, you will keep his statutes, you will keep his commandments and his judgments, and listen to his voice. Today the Lord has declared that you are his people, his treasured possession, just as he promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments. Verses like this from Deuteronomy 32. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to the people of Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words of warning which I'm speaking to you today, and you shall command your children to observe them carefully, to do all the words of the law. For it is not an empty or trivial matter for you. Indeed, it's your very life. By honoring and obeying this word, you will live long in the land which you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The message is important, stated repeatedly, made very, very, very clear. God's people obey God. God's people obey his commands. God's people obey his laws. God's people obey his word. God's people obey his voice. Before he is finished, Moses will pronounce God's blessing upon the people's obedience. Now it shall be in Deuteronomy 28, if you diligently listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I'm commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. The offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the offspring of your animals, the offspring of your herd, and the young of your flock will be blessed. Your basket and your kneading bowl will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, but flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all you undertake. The Lord will establish you as a people holy and set apart to himself, just as he sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk, that is, live your life each and every day in his ways. The Lord will open for you his good treasure house, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above only and not beneath if you listen and pay attention to the commandments of the Lord your God and carefully observe them. The blessing is sort of simplified in Deuteronomy 29. So keep the words of this covenant and obey them, so that you may prosper and be successful in everything you do. Along with the blessing, Moses will also include God's curse upon the nation if they disobey. In the city, in the country, when you come in, when you go out, your basket, your bowl, your livestock, your children, there won't be blessing. There'll be a cursing. Everything you set your hand to do, not blessed, but instead cursed. You won't have victory over your enemy. That's the blessing. You'll be defeated by them. You'll come at them from one direction. You'll be the one fleeing from them in seven. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 61, the Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster until you are destroyed. You who are as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You'll be uprooted from the land you're entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among the nations from one end of the earth to the other. Among those nations, you will find no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. Terror will fill your hearts. The message is important, stated repeatedly, made very, very, very clear, abundantly clear. God's people obey God, and there is blessing when they do, and there's a cursing if they don't. In Deuteronomy 30, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you shall choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. And how so? How do we do that? By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding closely to him. For he is your life, your good life, your abundant life, your very fulfillment. God's people obey God. God's people obey his commandments, his laws, his word, his voice. They choose blessing. They choose life. They love him. They hold close to him. And they obey him. All of that to bring us then to our verse. In Deuteronomy, all the laws, all the commands, all the instruction, all the blessing if you obey, all the cursing if you don't. And then this great truth in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. How true that is, right? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts not our thoughts. He doesn't always let us in on what he's doing or thinking, does he? He keeps it secret. There's a lot going on in our world that we can't understand. God knows what's going on. God knows exactly what's happening. In fact, more than just knowing about it, God's working in all of it, orchestrating, arranging all of it for his plan and purposes so that he would be glorified now and prepare the earth to glorify him when he returns. A lot going on, a lot that he's doing. He's in control. He's in charge of it all. He rules and reigns over it all. He's the sovereign, all authority, all powerful God after all. He's not necessarily letting us in on all the details, though, is he? God has secrets known to no one. There's a lot that's happened this last year that we didn't understand. Most likely still don't. The reason for it, the purpose of it. Why? We just can't get it. We don't understand it. We can't figure it out. What in the world is going on? God knows. But a lot of it, he's still keeping secret. There's a lot that could happen this year that we may very well not understand. We know God's good. We know what God does is good. We know that he works in all things and everything for our good. But the good and what we might find ourselves in at any given moment, that might be hard to see. He might keep that secret. Watch this. Here's the thing. This is the liberating truth of Scripture. God's secrets, figuring them out, you don't have to do that. That's not your job. You don't have to know all that he knows. You don't have to understand everything. Why is this happening? What in the world's going on? What's the good that's going to come from this? How could good possibly come from this? What good could possibly result because of this? You don't have to know that. You don't have to understand that. You don't have to figure that out. Listen, I know we're good people in the room, but I wonder that there's maybe too many of us thinking we're God, trying to be God by knowing all he knows, figuring we ought to know, that we need to know, that we ought to understand, that we need to understand all that's happening just like he does. Listen to me. Here it is, according to Scripture. The secret things that only God knows, only God can know, only God deserves to know, only God should know, that's not our business. That's not your concern. That's not your job. It's not your responsibility. But what is our responsibility then? What is our concern? What is our job? Verse 29. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. There are some things that he has kept and that even still he keeps secret. We are not accountable for those things, but he has revealed to us his law, and we and our descendants are to obey it forever. That's our responsibility. That's our concern. To know it all, to figure it all out, to understand it, to make sense of it, that's for God. Often the secret he keeps. It's not for you. You don't have to do that. You don't have to worry about that. You're not held accountable for that. How good is that news? After the mind-boggling year that we've just come through, aren't you glad? You're not accountable for making sense of that mess. I know you're wondering, and I know people are asking you, what in the world's going on? Why God did this? Why God do that? And I know you feel like you have to have an answer, but you're not accountable for that. You are accountable for obeying him, obeying his word, obeying his law, obeying his commands, obeying his voice, obeying his spirit. That's your job. That's your concern. That's all you need to worry yourself about. Here it is, no matter what comes this year. No matter the trouble that you can't make sense of, no matter the problem you can't figure out how to solve, no matter the circumstances you don't understand, listen, let 2021 be more of the same we got in 2020. Let it be even worse. I'm telling you, and I believe it, on the authority of God's word, I speak it for you and declare it over you. Regardless the trouble, despite it even, you can know in the midst of it all, the Lord who is great, exalted, highly esteemed, you can know him in the midst of it all to be your sure foundation, your safety, stability, and security, as you simply do the simple thing he's asked you to do, which is to obey him. That's all. Do you understand? The only question you need to be asking when the trouble comes, am I obeying God? Oh, don't you know we ask every other question? Why? What's going on? What's God going to do? How's God going to work in this? How's God in control of this? If this is happening and that's happening, listen, that's not your concern. We're not God. We don't need to know it all. We don't need to understand it all. The only question we need to be asking, am I obeying Him? Am I obeying His word? Am I obeying His way, His command? Am I listening for? Am I following and responding obediently to the voice of His Spirit? That's all. That's the only question you need to have an answer for. The secret things, those are God's things. The obedience to Him, that's your thing. Your only thing. 2020, COVID, elections, what in the world? God, do you see what's going on? You're just going to let this happen. You're not going to step in. You're not going to. That's God's business. For me, did I obey Him today? Did I follow His word today? I'm trying to solve the world's problems. I'm not God. I can't do that. I'm trying to fix everything. I'm trying to figure everything. But that's not my job. My job is to simply hold myself accountable to His word and to live my life in obedience to Him. Don't you understand, and don't miss this, no matter the trouble, being able to answer that question, the one question in the affirmative. Lots of trouble. Oh, there's lots of trouble. Lots of problems. What a mess. I don't understand anything that's happening. I can't make sense of any of it. I can't see any good in any of it. But Pastor, yes, I'm obeying the Lord. I'm living my life in obedience to Him, my very great, exalted, and highly esteemed God. Don't you know it's true? No matter the trouble, no matter the problems or even the mess, because of that, for you in Him, your life firmly established on Him, lived in obedience to Him, there is safety for you, security and stability as well. So, obey God. In John chapter 14, we read these words of Jesus. If you love me, you will obey what I command. In verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. In verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. In 1 John chapter 2, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. In 1 John chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. Do you understand this morning? It's not just a Deuteronomy thing. It's not just an Old Testament thing. Old Testament, New Testament, Deuteronomy, John, 1 John, the message is abundantly clear, repeated again and again. God's people obey God. And Scripture makes it clear, obedience or the lack thereof, it's all about our love for Him. It's all about our relationship with Jesus. That's the real issue of obedience. That's the real question of obedience. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? I believe this is true, though it might sound odd to hear. If you're obeying the Lord, if you're obeying His word, His laws, even all of His commands, out of any motive other than love for Him, you're obeying Him wrong. You're obeying Him the wrong way. Consider that from this perspective. There are some people who obey because they feel that makes them right with God. I have to follow all the rules. I have to obey all the commands so that God can love me, so that God would accept me, so that I can be saved and make it to heaven. In effect, saying Jesus, His sacrifice, His death on the cross, His shed blood, that's great, wonderful, and all, but that's not enough. I've got my list, and I've got to do all that's on that list so that God can really love me, so that God can really accept and save me. And don't we all know that's wrong? That thinking is wrong. That kind of obedience is wrong. It's done out of the wrong motive. Scripture is clear. We're saved by grace through faith, It's not of ourselves. It's not by works. It's a gift of God. We don't obey him so that he would love us, so that he would accept us, so that he would save us. We obey him because we know him. We obey him because we love him. I believe this is also true, though this might be hard to hear. Here's what we tend to do, what we do all too often. We link our disobedience to other things. God wants us reading, studying the word, spending time in prayer. Even commands it of us in his word. We're not, though. And what do we tend to do? We blame our lack of discipline. We're just not good at managing our time, creating margins for Bible reading and prayer. We lack the discipline to get up early. Oh, I had every intention. I was going to get up early. I was going to read the Bible. I was going to spend an hour in prayer. We lack the discipline to turn off the TV, to turn off our phone. God wants us active. God wants us involved. Listen to me. God wants you serving and helping and ministering. Here's what happens. We're not doing that, though. And what do we tend to do? We blame our calendar. We're just too busy. We'll obey when we're not so busy. Just right now, what's going in my life? I just got 2 months. The calendar's too full. But one day, it won't be so full. I won't be so busy. And I'll obey him then when the calendar clears. God wants us reaching out to people. He's always nudging us, prompting us. Share your faith with them. Tell them about me. Invite them to church. Go and pray over them. Go and help them. Go and speak this word of encouragement to them. We're not doing that, though. And what do? We tend to blame our lack of courage. We blame fear. Well, I wanted to, but I was just too scared. I didn't know them. It was very awkward and weird. We blame it on our discomfort. It was just too uncomfortable. I've never really talked to them, and now I'm just going to go and pray over them. I'm now going to write them a letter, a word of encouragement. I'm now going to call them. I'm just not good on the phone. I don't do that very well. I stumble all over my words. I don't know what I'm going to say. Here's what we do. We blame our experience or lack thereof. We blame our inability. I can't do that. I've never done that before. I can't do that. I'm not very good at it. What if it goes bad? What if they ask a question and I don't have the answer for it? What if I stumble all over myself trying to tell them about Jesus? What if I stumble all over myself while I'm trying to pray for them? Lord, ask you to go and pray for the person in the grocery store aisle, same as you. You feel that nudging and that prompting. Oh, but I don't know if I can, because when I pray out loud, I mess everything up. I say weird things. I say crazy. It doesn't make sense. And now this to a complete stranger is going to be worse. It's going to mess them up in their faith. It's not going to help them at all. I can't. I'm not going to do it. I can't obey God because I just don't know enough. I'm not comfortable enough. I don't have enough experience. In the end, we're not obeying God like we should. And watch this. And we're blaming it on everything that it's not. And here's what happens. As a result, we make light of our disobedience. I believe it. There's a problem in the church today. Disobedience is not a problem. Disobedience, it's just a discipline issue. I'll do better. I'll get more disciplined at some point. I'll obey better then. It's just my time. Everybody gets busy, Pastor. Leave us alone. It's not making us feel so bad. Everybody gets busy. You're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. The calendar's just too full. It won't be this full all the time. There'll be some day where I'm not so busy, and then I'll obey God then. We disobey God. It's just fear, just scared. That's not so bad, is it? We all get afraid. We all get scared of the things that God asked us to do. Just that I didn't feel I knew what I was doing. Pastor, it's really your fault. You need to preach more on that. You need to teach more on that. I'll tell you what, Pastor, you do a series on that, and then I'll feel more comfortable about obeying God. Because right now, I'm just not comfortable that I know enough, that I've done that enough, that I have the ability or the experience to do that. Felt weird. It was awkward, uncomfortable. I felt inept and unsure in doing that. That's what our disobedience becomes. But do you see the problem? It's not more discipline you need. Listen to me. Not according to Scripture. That's not the problem. That's not the thing you're to blame for your disobedience. It's not more time that you need, or even less busy that you need to be. It's not more courage. It's not more confidence. It's not more ability. It's not more experience. Your disobedience is not linked to, nor to be blamed on any of those things. Jesus says it. John writes it. Scripture is clear on it. Our disobedience, hard as it is to hear this morning, our disobedience is only explained by our lack of love. If we disobey Him, it's because we don't love Him like we should. It's because we don't know Him like we should. Jesus said it would be that way in John 14 and verse 24. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Earlier, he who does love me will obey. One writes this, the Lord makes His standard very clear. If my relationship to Him is that of love, I will do what He says. If I hesitate, it is because I love someone I have placed in competition with Him, namely myself. Be careful of obeying Him out of any motive other than love. Be careful of disobeying Him with any excuse other than a lack of love. This morning, this message, hear the call to obey Him that begins with the call to know Him and to love Him. As you set your heart to obeying Him more and better, begin here, in this place, in this moment. Know Him, love Him more and better. Obey God. Obey His word. In James chapter 1, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be doers of the word. If we ever are content with an obedience apart from the word, according then to the word, we deceive ourselves and are in fact not being obedient at all. I was thinking of that in the context of this. You know, the devil, he's a liar and a deceiver. That's what we say. This is the business of the devil. This is the work of the devil. He lies and he deceives. Really, then this, we do his work for him when we listen to the word, but don't do it. We deceive ourselves. Don't do that. Be doers of the word. Obey the word. How about this? Obey his voice. Listen, don't miss the attentiveness that needs to define our obedience. We need to be attentive, ears open to what God is saying to us. How can you obey if you can't hear Him? How can you obey Him if you don't know what He's saying to you and asking you to do? I was thinking of that, especially in the context of prayer. It's true. We need to pray. We need to pray hard. We need to be faithful in prayer. I know that in our years of ministry, I've probably said this many times, but I believe it would be more true today than any other time I said it, more than any other time. We need to be a people of the word, and we need to be a people of prayer right here, right now, today, in this hour. But equally true, we need to be attentive in prayer to hear what God's saying to us. We need to incorporate some listening time into our prayer time. We need to be attentive to what God's saying so that we can obey Him. One asked the question related to prayer and our communication with God. Why should His end of the communication line be equipped with the receiver but no mouthpiece? Don't you know that it's true? Sometimes you have conversations with people and you get the feeling they don't care anything you have to say. They want to talk and talk and talk, and you find yourself, I'm a little bit frustrated in this conversation. I was talking to someone the other day, they were talking about someone, and their arm goes to sleep on them because the phone held to the ear. It just goes on and on and on, and you sort of get the feeling, that's not very fun. We don't like those conversations. It makes us to wonder, what does God feel when we take away His mouthpiece and make him to just sit and listen as we unload on him and we talk and we talk and we talk. Listen, in your prayer time, let God do some talking. Don't we believe it's true? God's wanting to speak to you and me. We believe that. God is speaking to you and me. And if we're going to obey him, we have to first hear him. Hear his voice in your devotional time. Don't just read the word. Listen to him as you read it. Listen for him. Hear his voice in prayer. Don't just talk to him. Listen to him. Let him speak to you. Hear his voice here. As you come to this place, let your prayer be as Samuel's was. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. As it was the admonition to every church in Revelation. So then, let it be your one request. Lord, open my ears so that I can hear what your Spirit is saying to me today. In John chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding in Cana. His mother Mary is there as well. The wine runs out. She tells him. And then she tells the servants, whatever he tells you, do it. Listen to me. Hear Mary's instruction today. Obey him. Obey his voice like this. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus is standing by the lake. He teaches from one of the boats, then tells one of his fishermen, let's go out into the deep water and let out the nets. It's Peter that Jesus is talking to. And he'd been fishing all night, the best time to catch fish, but he'd caught nothing. And now this instruction in the daytime, in the not good fishing time, let's let out the nets in the deeper water. Peter responds, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. They caught such a large number of fish. When they did, their nets began to break. They had to call another boat to help, and both boats nearly sank because of all the fish. Let your obedience, listen to me, be defined not by having thought it all out, not by having figured it all out. No, we have an obedience that needs only one thing. Because he said so. Well, Lord, I've tried that before. Well, Lord, I've talked to them before, but they didn't answer. But Lord, they slammed the door in my face. They didn't want to come to church then. I don't think they're going to want to come. But I prayed for them back in the day, and they didn't get healed. Now you want me to go? Stop trying to figure it out. That's God's business. Yours is obedience. God, because you said so, I'll do what you've asked me to do. I'll get involved. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll give. I'll help because you say so. I'll do whatever it is you've said. I will obey. Obey God. Obey his commands. Obey his command to be like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, we know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. The truth isn't in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Find the difference between you and the Lord. Find the difference in how he responded to the commands of the Father, how you respond. Find the difference in how Jesus treated people and how you treat people. Find the difference in how Jesus acted and reacted under pressure, how you act and react. Find the difference in all that Jesus said and did, all that you say and do. Find how Jesus responded to the storm, how you respond to the storm. Find how Jesus responded to persecution, how you respond to persecution. Find the difference between you and the Lord. And what John tells us in finding and identifying those things, you'll have identified the areas of disobedience in your life. And then in correcting those things, in bridging the gap, you will do what he commands. You'll obey him. And the truth will be in you. God's love made complete in you as you live your life in him, as you walk as Jesus did, as you obey his commands to be like the Lord. Obey his commands to love people. To love one another, to accept one another, to be devoted to one another, to serve one another, to submit to one another, to honor one another, to encourage one another, to carry one another's burdens, to forgive one another, to spur one another on to love and to good works. All of us this week could potentially take a step in obedience by simply finding one of the one another verses of Scripture and determining we're going to do that this week before next Sunday comes, I'm going to find a way to love one another, accept one another, be devoted to one another, serve one another, submit to one another, honor one. I'm going to find a way so that I can take a step in obedience and obey God, obey His command to go and make disciples, to go and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Obey His command. Obey His Spirit. Be sensitive. Be attentive to the Spirit's promptings in your heart and life. The Spirit wants to use you to bring Jesus into the lives of others, to bring joy and encouragement, hope to others that are missing that. Be sensitive. Be attentive so that when He calls you, wanting to use you, you can hear Him. You can obey Him. In Luke chapter 2, we read of a man named Simeon. The Lord had spoken to him and said, before you die, you're going to see the salvation of Israel. You'll see the Messiah. But we read this in Luke chapter 2. Simeon, moved by the Spirit, went to the temple. And wouldn't you know, it just so happened to be the day that Joseph and Mary were there presenting Jesus. If Simeon had ignored the prompting of the Spirit, he would have missed out. Don't miss out. Obey His Spirit. Be sensitive. Be attentive. Be ready for the prompting of His Spirit in your heart. Obey God. Obey instantaneously. Psalm 119 and verse 60. Without any hesitation, I hurry to obey your commands. Obey unconditionally. Never let your understanding or lack thereof, never let your concern for the outcome in any situation. That's what we do. That's what we tend to do. We don't understand what good it will do. We don't understand, how's it going to work this time? It didn't work before. How's it going to work this time? We figure that they're going to say no. They're going to respond poorly. It's just not going to go good. Don't let any of it, don't let anything compromise your obedience to God. You already know it's true. Sometimes, even a lot of times, God asks us to do what we don't understand, what we can't make sense of. He asks us to do what we've never done before. He asks us to do what we don't feel qualified or comfortable doing. Sometimes, even a lot of times, God asks us to do the impossible. Asks us to do what we can't possibly imagine ourselves doing, at least doing successfully. I was thinking of it in light of Scripture. Like Noah, he might tell you to prepare for a flood before you even know what rain is. Like Abraham, he might tell you to go before he even tells you where you're going. Like Gideon, he might tell you that your army that's already outnumbered 500-1 is actually too big. Like the wedding servants, he might tell you to fill the jars with water and serve it as the best wine. Like the disciples, he might tell you to start serving the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like Peter, he might tell you to go get your temple tax from the mouth of the next fish you catch. He might even tell you to get out of the boat and walk with him on water. Like Mary, he might tell you that the power of the Most High is about to overshadow you and conceive something impossible, miraculous, and even divine inside of you. Like Jairus, he might tell you that what's died is not really dead, just asleep. Like Mary and Martha, he might tell you to take the stone away because what's been in there already for 4 days and surely stinketh by now is about to come out and breathe again. Listen, even then, in it all, obey God. Remember then, in it all, in the unknown, in what doesn't make sense, in what you can't understand, remember, the Lord has secrets. We're not accountable for those. Only instead to obey Him and His law forever. Obey Him sacrificially. Obey God no matter what it costs you. I love the stories of missionaries from years gone by. Felt called of God to go where they were told, you ought not go because you might not come back. To that their reply, He has not called me to come back, only to go. And they went, and some never came back. Instead, they seeded the spiritual soil of their countries with their blood. Obey Him, no matter what it costs, even though it costs you dearly. Obey Him wholeheartedly. Obey Him completely. Love him, know him more and better, do both, so that you can obey him, his word, his commands, his voice, and his spirit. Love him more and better, know him more and better, so that more and better you can obey him instantaneously, unconditionally, sacrificially, wholeheartedly, and completely. And let me leave you with this. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the words of God and obey them." James will echo the same words. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Blessed is happy, but it's more than just happy. It's really happy. It's happy, happy, happy. And that's you, and that's for you, and that's the promise to you for this year. Don't you want that? A year defined and described. Happy, happy, happy. Then obey him. Obey God. Hear his word. Obey it. Be a doer of it. And the happy, happy, happy will be yours. God's word says so. In Luke chapter 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Don't do what I say. I'll show you what he's like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck. That house would not be shaken because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. And its destruction was complete." In Psalm 103, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his commands." In Matthew chapter 5, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." It really is true. Everything we'd ever say about Jesus, everything we try to make people believe about Jesus, it all rests so heavily on how we would live for Jesus. We call him Lord. We must live with him as Lord over our lives. We say we love him. We must obey him. We must be doers of the word. We must walk as Jesus walked, love as Jesus loved. We must obey his word, his commands, his voice, his spirit, whatever he says, because he said so, we do it. Only then can we truly be effective in witnessing and ministering to others. Do you understand? All of that, listen to me, I believe it. On the authority of God's word, I believe I can both speak it and declare it over you and the coming year, despite any trouble. I don't have a clue as to the trouble that awaits you, the problem that awaits you, but on the authority of God's word, I declare it over the coming year, despite any of the trouble. Happy, happy, happy. You'll be blessed. Whatever you do will be blessed as you determine today to obey God. God's word says so. God's word says that. The obedient life is the life built on the rock. It's the sure foundation life. Obey God, and it won't matter anything of this coming year. You'll be safe and secure, unshakable, immovable on him, your rock, your sure foundation. The love of the Lord will be with us. His protection surround us. And his favor and his goodness and his kindness will rest upon us. That's your year. That's your 2021 for you. Experiencing God's love, guided by God's protection, and filled with God's goodness as you determine today to obey him. The obedient life is the life that glorifies God and causes others to do the same. Listen, wouldn't this be true? Does it even matter, the trouble, what it might be, how it might affect you? Does it matter even any of it if in it all and through it all, people come to know Jesus? And in it all and through it all, God is glorified through you? Despite any trouble, don't you end it rejoicing? If you've seen the kingdom grow because of you, through you, despite any trouble, don't you end the day rejoicing? If today's the day your son comes back to Jesus, your daughter lets you to know that she's committed her life to the Lord, doesn't today end with rejoicing? If no matter the trouble, you can lay your head in the pillow at night and know that God has been glorified in you and through you, you can let every day include that kind of rejoicing. and that kind of glorifying as you choose today to obey Him. Do you see why we obey Him? Let the coming year be more of the same. Let it be worse, it won't matter. Because we're obeying God. No matter what comes, God's glorified and we're rejoicing. No matter what comes. We're obeying God, and because we are, we're experiencing His love, His protection, His goodness, and His blessing. No matter what comes, we're happy, happy, happy. We're obeying God. We're trusting God. We're chasing God. We're knowing God. And because we are, no matter what comes, even if outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're getting stronger and stronger, renewed, safe, stable, secure, unshakable, immovable, fearless, bold, confident, and courageous, knowing His help, His salvation, and His victory are ours. Obey God. As Mary said to the servants, I say to you today, do whatever He tells you. The Lord has secrets known to no one. You're not accountable for that. Don't worry about that. Worry instead about this. But He has revealed to us His law, and we are accountable to obey that forever. Obey God. And I leave you with this. As we're challenged, confronted, and maybe even convicted related to our obedience, let me remind you of this. In Micah chapter 7, who's a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His people. You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. For whatever disobedience the Lord would reveal to you today, may you know that the God who commands you to obey Him delights to show you mercy when you don't. Aren't you glad for that? Isn't that good news this morning? Let me also remind you of this. By way of the Spirit, we have the power to obey God. No matter what He commands, no matter what He asks of you, you can obey Him. The Spirit will give you the power to obey Him. I share with you what I've shared many times before. I remember it so clearly. It seems every time us kids would leave the house, go anywhere, to school or some other activity, my dad would meet us at the door and pray simply over us. God, help Denny, Michelle, Aaron, and Jonathan. Help them to know the difference between right and wrong. And by the power of your Spirit, choose to do the right. God would reveal to you today His word, His law, His command. He would let you to hear His voice and the voice of His Spirit. And I pray today that you would know and experience the power of His Spirit to help you to do whatever He's asked you to do. Father, we thank You today for Your word. It challenges us. It confronts us in our disobedience. And even further, that our disobedience is connected to our lack of love for You. We don't ever want to say that. We would never want to admit to that. We want to be able to disobey and yet still love You fully. And we're confronted this morning from Your word. We can't do that. If we love You, we obey. If we don't love You, we're not going to obey You. Oh, it pricks our hearts this morning. We sense, I've no doubt it, even everyone in the room. We hear the call to obey, but we sense the conviction, Lord, that we haven't always obeyed like we should. So this morning we meet with the God who delights to show mercy. We meet with You. That, Lord, You would speak to us Your mercy and grace. Let Your love and Your compassion, Your kindness just flood this room, I pray. And Father, I pray for a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. As we determine today, we want to obey You more and better. that's going to be tough. There's going to be the challenge. There's going to be the difficulty of that. You're going to ask us to do some strange things, maybe. You're going to ask us to do some things we've never done before. We're not comfortable. We're going to feel weird and awkward doing it. I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit today so that, Lord, we would know strength and power to obey you as we should. Father, we hear your call to obey you. And we say today, yes, Lord, we will obey. We will know God, we'll chase God, we'll trust God. And Lord, today, we will obey. So ask of us. I wonder, just as we close this morning, we're doing a little different today. I wonder, would you just give a moment? Would you give the Lord permission to speak to you, to ask of you, to reveal to you what he would have you to do? Would you let him speak to you? Would you just give him permission in your own way? Would you let God to know, Lord, here am I. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. This is how we do it in school. You lift your hand. I'll do it, teacher. Here, call on me. I know the answer. I'll come to the board. I'll solve it. I'll tell you the answer to the question. I wonder this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Would you just lift your hand? I'll do it, God. I'll do it. Would you just let them know with an uplifted hand? Here am I. God, you can use me. You want to start a food ministry? Here, I'll do it. I'll do it. You need my neighbor to know about Jesus? Here, I'll go. Lift your hand. Let God see. Here, Lord. Here we are. Father, I believe it. My eyes are closed, but I believe it. Hands are lifted all over this room. And I would say it as pastor of this church. God, here we are. Here's new life. We'll do it. You need somebody to do something in Flushing? You need another missionary to be sent? We'll do it. We'll give. We'll pray. You need someone to go and serve? You need someone to go and help? We'll do it. Here we are. We'll volunteer. We'll sign up. We want to obey you, whatever you ask of us. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray that you would use us mightily for you and for your kingdom. Work powerfully through this people as we commit our lives to obeying you. And I thank you once more for your promises that no matter what comes this year, the promise of your word is for us. And because we're knowing you, chasing you, trusting you, and obeying you, you will be our sure foundation. And you will grant to us safety, stability, and security in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord today? I pray that 4 weeks in, we would commit our lives. We're going to know God, chase him, trust him, and we're going to obey him. And I pray his blessing over you today. Would you extend your hands to receive it? I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and be good to you. I pray that the Lord would turn to you and give to you his peace in Jesus' name. Would you receive that and say amen this morning?